In the name of the one holy, loving, and liberating God. Today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew, especially the second half, is one of those passages that leaves me, and I imagine you too, scratching your head. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Well, how is that supposed to be good news, exactly? What happened to Jesus, the Prince of Peace? I need a message of comfort and hope and unity, especially considering the times we're living in. How is Jesus coming not to bring peace, but to divide? Good news, exactly? Can't we just pick another passage from the Bible to preach on today? Let's rewind and revisit where we were last Sunday. In the Gospel of Matthew, we had just concluded chapter 9 and had started chapter 10. Jesus has been busy doing God's work, bringing in the kingdom of shalom. He has been curing people with skin disease and casting out demons and giving sight to the blind and curing a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Jesus has been busy doing God's work. And we hear him say, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. And so, Jesus is building his team, expanding Team Jesus, God's healing and wholeness being spread through those who would follow him. He's empowering people with the power to heal and to make whole that comes from the source of life itself, to do what Jesus has been doing. So like a coach before the big game, today we hear a bit of a pep talk. Don't be afraid. Are you not of more value than the sparrows? And also, like a good coach before the big game, Jesus reminds them what they're about. Jesus reminds them what he is about, what Team Jesus is about. We're about transformation. We are about bringing in God's kingdom, moving the world as it is, closer to the world as it should be, as God has dreamed for all of creation since before time began. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it's about the fulfillment of God's promise to God's people. So in other words, God isn't finished with us yet. God wasn't finished then, and God sure isn't finished now. And so, if we and you and I are attached and invested in things continuing on exactly the way they are, holding on to the status quo, the way things have always been, watch out. Hang on. Because God isn't finished with us yet. It's Jesus the disruptor, Jesus the agitator. I am about to do a new thing, God says. Can you not perceive it? The message in Luke's version of this is similar. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? Jesus says, no, I tell you, but rather division. For henceforth in one house there will be five divided, three against two, two against three they will be divided. Father against son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Notice, if you will, that the division described is one between generations. A new generation, we can imagine, who has heard the accounts of Jesus and who find themselves drawn to his teachings and ministry and presence, drawn to this one who ate and drank with people on the margins, exhorting people to put God and God's mercy and God's compassion and God's justice front and center in their lives over and above everything else. To have God's vision and dream of shalom, which is health and well-being and wholeness for all, not just for some, for all of God's creation, and have that be the ordering principle of their lives. Free from the sin of illusion of separation from God, free from the sin of illusion of separation from one another. This one, the new generation was hearing, whose mother, in the beginning of Luke's gospel, pregnant with him as she visits her cousin Elizabeth, proclaims God's kingdom vision, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty." Now we can better understand the division and the discord that this kind of talk, this way of thinking and believing, living and acting sows. So much so that Jesus' own family can't escape the conflict and tension brought about by what he's been up to. In Luke's gospel, we hear that his mother and brothers come to him, but they can't reach him because of the crowd, and then he's told by someone, "You know, your mom and your brothers are standing outside. They want you to come home." And he says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Division, discord, agitation. Followers of Jesus, men and women whose hearts have been set on fire with the vision of God's dream, God's kingdom, hearing and heeding Jesus' call to follow. Throughout the ages, these followers of Jesus have likewise caused the hairs of their parents and loved ones to turn gray prematurely. Like Thecla, a young noblewoman living in first century Iconium, a town in modern-day Turkey, who, enraptured by the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul, left both her mother and her fiancé to spread the good news as a follower of Jesus. And what about Bridget of Kildare? Have you all heard Bridget's story? Born in the 5th century in modern-day Ireland, a daughter of Dubhthach, pagan chieftain of the Leinster clan. Bridget was inspired by the teachings of St. Patrick. She worked on her father's farm, cooking, cleaning, feeding animals, until she turned 18. Her chieftain father, Dubhthach, wanted her to find a husband. She, on the other hand, wanted to take care of people who were poor and sick and elderly, which was not what Dad had in mind for her. The final straw was when Bridget gave away her dad's cherished jewel-encrusted sword to a leper. Well, at that point, she was given her wish and allowed to enter the convent. I know there are stories in your own family lore. What about your own stories of those individuals who marched to the beat of a different drummer? Perhaps you are that person, or you are fretting about someone you love going a different path than the one that had been laid out for them, following a vision of God's dream in God's kingdom that lies beyond your own imagination. They may not be as dramatic as that of Thecla or Bridget, yet these are nonetheless authentic actions of kingdom vision. Take, for example, Bill and Margaret, a black woman and a white man who in the 1950s fell in love and got married despite what their family and town had to say. There are stories from my own family, as when my mother, as a young girl, gave away all the turrón, all the fried plantains that her parents had made for their immediate family, but she decided to give away all the fried plantains to the whole town, making my grandfather furious. And parts of my own story, the phone call I made in my mid-20s that some of you have heard, informing my parents, both doctors, that I was leaving medical school and driving cross-country by myself, searching for my true calling, of which I was clueless. Subsequent life updates that I informed them in my early and mid-30s that I was breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church to become an Episcopalian. Not long after, I'm heading to seminary to study to be a priest. A woman priest, my mother said. None of these life updates were received well at the time. Talk about discord and division caused by choices and decisions that weren't part of their plan for me. Parents who simply wanted the best for their daughter according to what they themselves could see. Choices and decisions that were frankly beyond what they could imagine. But that's the point here, isn't it? That God's kingdom, God's dream, God's vision for each of us and all of us is that which breaks from beyond into our present reality, inviting us to envision and work towards what is not yet, but still could be. A way of being that is still better, even better, more just, more kind, more compassionate, more aligned with God's dream than what is now. More for all, not for just some of God's beloved creation. It's the dream and the vision that breaks into the present reality of an individual suffering from the disease of addiction, to imagine and invite the possibility of recovery, and to take just that first step. It's the dream and the vision that breaks into the present reality of a city, a nation, suffering from the sin and legacy of racism and racist policies, to imagine and invite the possibility of truth and reconciliation, and to take just the next step towards realizing it. It's the dream and vision that breaks into the present reality of violence and war, to imagine what it might look like for swords to be transformed into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, instruments of death and dying transformed into those that cultivate life and living. Jesus the disruptor, Jesus the agitator, in order to transform and make whole and make well. In 2012, our now presiding Bishop Michael Curry preached a sermon, and here's some of what he said. We need some Christians who were as crazy as the Lord. Crazy enough to love like Jesus, to give like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, to do justice, love, mercy, walk humbly with God, like Jesus. Crazy enough to dare to change the world from the nightmare it often is into something closer to the dream that God dreams for it. And for those who would follow him, those who would be his disciples, you and me and you and all of us in this space, those who would live as and be the people of the way, it might come as a shock, but we are called to this craziness. A final blessing that we've heard before. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, superficial relationships, so you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, exploitation of people, so you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe You can make a difference in the world, so you can do what others claim cannot be done. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.